The way that my hair naturally sits these days, I look like a mix between emo Peter Parker and I would like to speak to your manager, and there's only one way to fix that. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. It is Monday, June 21st, 2021. Hit that like button to support the video. Hit that subscribe button for your chance to win $5,000 at the end of the month, and let's just jump into it. First up today, let's definitely talk about this controversy that we're seeing right now in the world of online entertainment, specifically on Twitch. You know, this is kind of the continuation of a past controversy we talked about. Right there, you had an increasing number of female streamers that were streaming from hot tubs and pools, scantily clad. Right, and in general, these streamers were kind of trying to ride the line of the terms of service on Twitch. Ultimately, Twitch ended up addressing it. Among other things, they made hot tub streams its own category, which resulted in a lot of people saying, you're just kind of kicking the can down the road. You're gonna have another controversy. Even people like Pokimane speaking up.
Listen, Twitch, it doesn't matter if you make a new section for this or if you ban these individual people, because, or if you ban hot tub streams indoors, they're gonna find another way to push the envelope. They basically implemented a band-aid fix as opposed to treating the root cause.
And as it turns out, she was exactly right. We started seeing the rise of ASMR streams, but I don't even feel comfortable calling them ASMR streams. Like, when most people think of ASMR streams, they probably think of something like this.
So cute, she's so cute.
But the ASMR streams that we're talking about on Twitch, I don't even know if I could show this. With some streamers like Amaranth doing whatever this is. And I stopped the clip right there, not to save you, because I would show you, I would let it continue just so you could feel as fucking weird as I feel right now. But yeah, she goes on to, among other things, simulate sounds that sound like oral. So with all of that, we ended up seeing some temporary bans on big names like Indie Fox and Amaran. Also with that, we saw people like esports and gaming host Frankie Ward tweeting. I'd say Mike licking Metagate is not hurting solely women on Twitch, but hurting Twitch in general. I'm not anti-hot tub streams, I've written about why, but the presentation by the band and streamers charging subs for licking ASMR mics suggestively is an issue. Woman in a bikini equals front covers of regular mags on the beach, poolside, person simulating a sexual act and with financial incentive to do so, not something you'd see below the top shelf in general public. As well as streamers like Sweettail saying that Twitch has opened up a door.
They're literally bending over doggy style, sucking on a microphone and making ear licking noises and staring at the camera making eye contact. In the ASMR category. Like, what the f***? Don't get me wrong, these girls are killing it. They're making great money, that's great, and I am not, I love women. If you wanna do your own, if you wanna have an OnlyFans, you wanna be and these women are gorgeous, don't get me wrong. But I just don't think Twitch is the platform for that. It's not.
Some even arguing that by allowing this content, Twitch is inviting a kind of creepy demographic that's going to harass women. But regarding that specific argument, you had people pushing back, people like 39DAF saying, the problem with your statement was assuming it attracts a demographic that further hurts its female streamers, etc. But in my opinion, it doesn't. People who want to harass women on Twitch were already going to harass them. I highly doubt people who subscribe and pay for Amaranth / Indie Fox's OnlyFans are the ones actively going around harassing other women. With Amaranth herself even responding, saying the people we bring are far, far, far more mild-mannered and open-minded than the average gamer bro. And I would go as far as to say the dramatic cacophony of voices saying it hurts the platform actually hurts the platform due to shining a spotlight on a molehill, self-fulfilling prophecy. And while obviously there is a debate to be had there, and I would love to know your thoughts and opinions on that in the comments down below, what I would say is even if it is short-lived, this controversy and scandal and even the bans seem to be beneficial for these women. Amaranth saying that it seemed like her ban actually helped her OnlyFans with her getting 587 new subscribers just an hour or two after it happened. Right, and it's important to remember, it's not just the money from subscriptions that end up being big for these women, but also the paid messages. Hell, I mean, Corinna Kopf, who of course we've talked about her launching an OnlyFans last week, she tweeted that she made $165,000 on just one picture of her boobs. Which brings us to our most important online story of the day. I am not making as much money as I should be. Which is why I am so excited to announce in completely serious and not a joke news, I and Ethan Klein will be getting into the ring and boxing in what has been called the Battle of the Dad Bods. And if and when I win, I get his 5%. In the unlikely event I lose, maybe I have a brain aneurysm, I don't know. I'll buy you and your family VIP tickets to Disney. Yeah, serious stakes, you coward. Then, in a story about outrage and backlash that I definitely wanted to update since we talked about accusations last week, we had Chrissy Teigen back in the news. She, of course, last week coming back to social media, apologizing again for past comments that she made, saying at that time she was a troll, there was no excuse for what she did, she's a different person now, there's a lot of people that she still needs to apologize to. And like we talked about last week, after she did this, designer and former Project Runway contestant Michael Costello said on Instagram that he was actually bullied by Teigen back in 2014, with him specifically saying that the bullying drove him to having suicidal thoughts, claiming that Teigen and her stylist made it hard for him to work in the industry, bullying him, saying that, yeah, he should die. But as it turns out, following that, we ended up seeing a report from Insider that found technical inconsistencies in the purported DMs that could suggest they are manipulated, and noting several visual identifiers in the images appear to come from various iterations of Instagram and Teigen's profile throughout the years, which is oftentimes a signature of manipulated imagery, with it noting that Teigen had been verified in 2015, but that there was no blue check next to her name, suggesting that the screenshot was taken in 2014. But reportedly the issue with that is that the message backgrounds have the purple and blue gradient, which didn't exist until 2020 when she was verified, so that appears to be inconsistent. There's also a video chat icon at the top of the image, which is a feature that wasn't introduced until 2018. And the photo in the corner is also the profile picture she used in 2014 to 2016, and any screenshot taken after that would show her current picture. So it turns out that there was a lot of things that didn't add up, and actually Teigen herself ended up saying that the DMs were fake, sharing a statement on social media saying the screenshots were fictional, adding that, yes, she did comment on one of his posts in 2014 when he was accused of making a racist remark, but saying that after he denied it and said that the remark was photoshopped, Chrissy deleted her comment, saying she never conspired to ruin his career, and actually the stylist that Michael claimed bullied him with Chrissy didn't even work with her until 2016. With a statement also saying that Chrissy thought she had a cordial friendship with Michael, with screenshots also being shared of Instagram interactions, which included Michael complimenting her lipstick and food and other mundane and normal interactions. Right, and so following all of that, we saw Michael deleting the original post accusing Teigen of bullying him, but also we saw him respond saying that Teigen and her team, quote, are working so hard, so strategically to come out against the DMs she sent me, and to downplay the comments she publicly posted on my Instagram only proves that she is the same bully she always has been, despite her fake apology to the public. But still, that doesn't appear to fully address the allegedly doctored images that he was sharing. Also, it does appear that with Costello doing this, he put a big target on his back. Since he shared that now deleted Instagram post, we've seen people coming out accusing him of sexual harassment, overt racism, body shaming, and it's still a developing situation over there, so obviously you have to wait and see. But I think one of the biggest things with this story is it does appear to shine a light on an issue that we've seen in a number of these instances, right? Insert a person that's having some sort of scandal or big backlash because they're getting hit so hard here, their character's been called into question. We sometimes end up seeing people just making shit up and piling on, because often the pylon is so big and crazy, everything is kind of assumed to be true if it's negative about the person that's at the center of it. But from that, I want to take a second to thank the sponsor of today's show, the new and improved Phil.Ting.com. You know, since switching to Ting's Unlimited Pro plan, I save around $42 a month compared to my previous provider. And most importantly, it was easy, and I have the same coverage as before, and the only thing that changed was the lower monthly bill. Plus, for a limited time, Ting is offering their unlimited plan for just $25 a month for the first 3 months if you activate before June 30th. Also, Ting's Flex plan is their pay-for-what-you-use pricing model, but even cheaper. It's just $5 per gigabyte, and like always, data usage is shared across all your devices, so the more phones you have on one account, the less you pay per device. So whether you're someone that uses 2 or 20 gigabytes a month, there is a perfect Ting plan for you and your family. So just head on over to phil.ting.com to check your current phone, create an account, and pick the plan that's right for you. Then Ting sends you a SIM card that you'll pop into your phone and activate in minutes. See how much you can save on your monthly phone bill at phil.ting.com and get $25 off today. Then we definitely need to talk about this morning the Supreme Court ruling unanimously against the NCAA. So the case in question centered around whether the NCAA was violating antitrust laws when it limited the amount students could receive for scholarships, for graduate degrees, paid internships, musical instruments, computers, and other free education benefits. So the student athletes that brought the case arguing that the NCAA was running a system that restrained competition. But you had the NCAA arguing that their rules were exempt from antitrust laws because they were needed to preserve the image of amateurism in college sports and prevent colleges from recruiting athletes by offering over-the-top benefits worth thousands of dollars. But essentially the Supreme Court's response was shut your dumb ass up. And so as far as what the Supreme Court ruled, in the court's opinion delivered by Justice Neil Gorsuch, he wrote that the Supreme Court was upholding a lower court decision to lift, quote, rules that limit scholarships for graduate or vocational school payments for academic tutoring or paid post-eligibility internships, while also leaving in place rules aimed at ensuring student athletes do not receive unlimited payments unrelated to education. Or in other words, athletes can receive additional education-related payments, but the NCAA will still be allowed to keep them from being paid like professional professional athlete. Though, I do want to clarify, this does not have anything to do with the ongoing debate over allowing student athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness through things like brand deals and appearances, though some have speculated that this ruling could have an indirect impact on those kinds of discussions. But also very notably here, in a concurring opinion, Justice Brett Kavanaugh accused the NCAA of acting, quote, above the law and questioned whether more rules should be ended. Writing, the NCAA's remaining compensation rules also raise serious questions under the antitrust laws. And that, I mean, is absolutely massive because he's effectively saying that the organization will have trouble defending its rule that players cannot be compensated. But it's essentially a signal to student athletes that they should file a new lawsuit challenging the remaining restrictions the NCAA has on compensation. Which is also why it's not surprising that Steve Berman, an attorney for the college athletes who filed the suit, said, "It is our hope that this victory in the battle for college athletes' rights will carry on a wave of justice uplifting further aspects of athlete compensation. This is the fair treatment college athletes deserve." California Governor Gavin Newsom also celebrating this win, tweeting, "The NCAA's bankrupt model is finally starting to come apart. Sickening that colleges reap billions from student athletes but block them from earning a single dollar. This brings us one step closer to fixing that." Then, in actually very important political news, we should talk about this story that's actually two stories. One, right, the headline, you have Senate Democrats set to officially introduce the voting rights bill on the floor. And two, this could also be the beginning of a story where more moderate Democrats realize that their goal of compromise is really an impossible thing to do with the Republican Party of today. But the party that after January 6th decided the course of action to take was to throw Liz Cheney under the bus and still stay in the good graces of Donald Trump, that maybe they're not, you know, making good faith arguments. And that now could be a good time to change the game plan from what Democrats have kind of done really well for the last 40 years, and that is lose with style. Democracy in the United States is in a very weakened and vulnerable state right now, and you have a number of Democrats out there acting like it's just business as usual. Right, so those are the two stories in one, and here's the meat of it. Right, so the procedural vote to start debate on the legislation is scheduled for tomorrow. And this comes as more and more Democrats and progressive activists have begun to embrace a more watered down version of the bill proposed by Joe Manchin, the sole Democrat who opposed the initial bill on the ground that it was too partisan. But here's the thing, while Democrats spent the weekend hashing out the final details of compromise on Manchin's bill, which he has touted as a more bipartisan compromise, Senate Republicans have still broadly rejected it, with Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calling it equally unacceptable and predicting that no members of his party will vote in favor. And so, as a result, the legislation is all but guaranteed to fail in the chamber, where it will require all 50 Democrats and at least 10 Republicans to overcome the filibuster. But very notably here, bringing the bill to the floor could actually still be good for Democrats if it allows some people to see what the reality of the situation is. Right? Because this could lay the groundwork for the party to justify scrapping the filibuster altogether. Right? If Joe Manchin agrees to some form of the bill, which the Republicans then filibuster, Democrats could then say, "Hey, we have the votes to approve the legislation if we get rid of the filibuster. Joe, don't you see that it's not about compromise, it's about stonewalling. That bipartisanship cannot be a precondition to taking action to secure our democracy if it relies on reaching a common ground with a party that is increasingly and transparently committed to undermining that democracy." And secondly, it shows the minority rule party, that is the GOP, is abusing existing Senate rules to block highly popular policy changes. But I mean, after the insurrection and amid the growing efforts by Republican governors and legislatures to restrict voting access in their states, there has been broad public support for federal action to protect our endangered democracy. And here's the thing, tomorrow we may even see the Republicans filibuster the vote to even proceed to debate this, with that including even discussing Manchin's plan, which he crafted specifically to reach a compromise with the GOP. And ultimately, with this story, or honestly anything else that I talked about today, I'd love to know your thoughts in those comments down below, because one, this is supposed to be a conversation, and two, this is the end of today's show. As always, thanks for being a part of the family, subscribe and like and all the good stuff. If you're looking for more to watch, it's covered right here or in those top links down below. But of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.